Okay, let me go on to this last section. Because this is also important, this step of bringing them unto the Lord. Again, let me start with the view. When we talk about raising children unto the Lord, what do we mean by that? We're raising them to have a very, very personal and individual relationship with the living God. We are not teaching them to be in our church. We're not teaching them to carry out religious activities. We want to introduce them to the living God and to a very unique and personal relationship with that living God. So that little by little, Christ would become their source and their scope of life. He alone would become their everything. That's our view. So it's highly personal. There's a voice that they have to recognize. Now you think, how do I do that? This is very difficult. It's not that hard to teach them hymns, teach them Bible stories, help them to go to church and participate. That's not hard. But to help them know the voice of the Lord at the Lord's time, oh my goodness, that is a highly spiritual activity. Because you can't measure it by anything outward. So you recognize, like with the apostles in the book of Acts, they were puzzled. They had been with Christ physically for 3.5 years. Now all of a sudden they've got to know him as the Spirit. They were puzzled. How do you know him? So at first he appears, then he disappears, he appears and he disappears. Just so they begin to discover, oh, wait a minute. There's something going on in me. When Jesus is here, I sensed it. It's like a training he's giving them. Because the Christian life is a person's relationship to Christ. Then along with that, with the view, that knowledge of Christ is going to be little by little by little. They're not going to know him right away. And you don't always know what it is Christ is saying to them or doing to them. You want them to discover his voice, like in John chapter 10. My sheep know my voice. That's what you want. I've seen so many parents so happy when I would give conferences and they tell me, oh, my son prophesied in the meeting or my daughter prayed in the meeting. Oh, and I just thought to myself, you don't know what you're saying. You don't know. Have you ever asked your son how the Lord has touched him lately in his personal life, at school or with a family? So you get so interested thinking that the things of the Lord equal practices. They don't equal practices. You want them to hear the voice. My sheep know my voice. Now, when they're little, and when they're young, even they don't understand when the Lord is speaking to them. Very much like the disciples. Because in this process of the Lord teaching them who he is, it's like he has every one of them in a private school with their own curriculum. How will this little boy come to know me? How will that little girl come to know me? How will that child come to know? How? You can't have a system. I remember I did this. I used to say there was a pipeline. By sixth grade, everybody could be baptized. I realized after a while that is not good. I'm not God. How do I know when the Holy Spirit will touch a child's life? They may be six, but they may be 26. Maybe in God's wisdom, he'll say, you know, I hate to do this to you, mother and father, but they're going to go off to school and then go to the world and far away from me. And you're going to think they're lost. They're not lost. There's so many things I have to teach them about what's not valuable, what has no value in life. But when they're 26 is when I'll call them to myself. How could we ever figure that out? If we only care for whether or not they're in our religious group, or in our kind of church setting, then we'll measure everything from that angle. But if we care that they would know the Lord's voice, then that is what we'll make as an emphasis with them. The Lord knows what he has to do to them to help them not only to know him, not only to get saved, but their whole life, what he has to put them through, what kind of things he has to teach them. You and I don't know. But if they're going to be a Christian and they're going to live unto the Lord, they have to live unto the Lord. Not unto our expectations of their being a Christian, but to know his voice and to respond to his voice. What if they take another direction than you took? You followed this path. Normally we want our children to follow our paths. But the Lord may have a totally different path for your child. To teach him to know him in a rich and full way. To become a testimony of him. We say, no, you can't do that. You have to do it this way. Then we limit what the Lord can do inside of them. Okay, so at this stage, it requires a continual, on the one hand, you know, when the children are 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, you have two things going on. One is a continued moral development under the law. I say this especially to parents when they've got kids who are teenagers and they don't love the Lord and they don't know what to do with them. I always say, what do you mean you don't know what to do with them? You make them behave. They still need the law. They still need to be moral. They still need to be ethical. They still need to be virtuous. They still need the law. But at the same time, talking about their coming to salvation now, you're very watchful when the work of the Holy Spirit begins. It's hard to tell, but things happen in them. And you realize something's going on. Maybe out of nowhere they ask a question, Daddy, what is baptism? How come everybody got baptized last Sunday? What is that? You realize, on the one hand, you can give them a definition, well, baptism according to Romans chapter 6. Or you could have another kind of ear and realize something's going on here. And you begin to watch. Listen, maybe nothing for a period of time, but you realize the call of the Holy Spirit has begun. And, you know, it's our tendency to say, oh, would you like to be saved? I would like to recommend to you, don't try to get your children saved. Don't bring them to salvation until they beg you for salvation. You say, well, why don't you want to lead them to the Lord? Why? Because you may lead them prematurely. You get them to call on the name of the Lord. You get them to pray before the Holy Spirit has accomplished his work. Before God is the one who saves them, you save them. So the power of that initial salvation is not that strong. You know, how many of you can look at the moment you were saved and to this day, you know, that changed my life. When that happened, I could never go back. I can be bad. I can drift away from the Lord. I never could deny the moment he saved me. Or moments. Many times, many things have happened to us. And, you know, someday we can deny everything. I don't think anything's real. And then I say, but Lord, I can't deny. You touched me here. You touched me there. You touched me there. And you see, we want our children to be saved by God, not by our ways. So that's why I say, you know, feel free not to be anxious about your child's salvation. You can pray, cast all your cares upon the Lord in anxiety. Please save my son. Please save my daughter. Make it a dynamic salvation, Lord, in your time. But don't force it. And this will be a key element in the second stage of bringing them unto the Lord. Is your distinguishing it between what is religion and what is the Lord's move in their life. And I'll clarify that. It's the same thing regarding their first personal experiences. I don't know if any of your children are saved. But very often, I would watch with families and all the places I would travel and give conferences. Parents would see their children saved. And then what they wanted to do was they wanted to have them do spiritual things. Okay, now that you're a Christian, you do this, you do this, you do this. It's okay. I mean, the reading of the Bible, attend meetings. But don't equate their Christian life with the religious activities they're doing. Don't equate their knowledge of the Lord and their relationship with the Lord with the spiritual things they're doing. Don't equate those. Sometimes I used to pour cold water on my kids when they'd come home from conferences. They'd be so excited. Oh, praise the Lord, that conference is wonderful. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I said, well, you know, maybe now. Someday you still might follow the Lord. And they looked at me. Daddy, I really touched something. I said, well, maybe, we'll see. But when your personal life begins to grow in the Lord and you want to be with him every morning, and you want to be in the Word because you love him so much. I says, then I'll know it's real. You know, and they just, oh, Daddy, for Pete's sake. Why? Because I saw that happen. Kids excited and they practice things. Then the church people will all say, oh, praise the Lord, this young man, servant of the Lord. What happened? He got excited. No, sometimes some of them touch something. But also there's so many other things involved that we love our children so much, we thought, oh, finally he'll be good. Finally he's in the church. See, we equate a practice with their relationship with the Lord. So even in the first experiences after they're saved, how do we guide them? Well, the Lord will speak to you. Sometimes we want big things to happen. You know, the young people are burning, or the young people are preaching the gospel, or the young people go back to their high school and are having a lunchtime meeting. These things. But many times, the first stage is the Lord touches them about how they treat their mother. Or the Lord touches them about how they're related to friends. Or some unrighteous things nobody knows. The Lord touches them to deal with that. That's what we want them to hear. That's the personalized curriculum from the Lord. So I know with our children, and I always advise parents, you just hold the moral and ethical line. You know, whatever your spirituality is, I don't care. You're a good student, you treat people well, you work hard, this kind of thing. But then I'd always ask, so how is the Lord speaking with you? And they'd always say, I don't know. And I'm not going to tell them. But you introduce them. This is what it means to be a Christian, is hearing the voice of the Lord. I'm glad you do other things. That's good. It's good to go to the young people's meeting. It's good to sing. It's good to write songs. It's good to go to the park and preach the gospel. But you've got to hear his voice. How is he speaking to you? When I was in the training in Anaheim, these young people would be so excited about being in the training. And I always would ask them, so, you know, in the last week or so, how's the Lord been touching you? And they'd look so puzzled. What do you mean, touching me? I've been in every training meeting. I said, well, that might be good. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But how's the Lord speaking to you? That's our Christian life. So what is our labor? Now we come to our labor in this stage. Well, first is to understand. We want to lead them to the Lord. Not to practices. Not just to our church. So many young people I have seen leave the church life. Most of you are young. Boy, I can look back all the way to the 70s. I can't tell you how many young people have left. Not only the church, but the Lord. And mainly, the main reason they leave is because following the Lord was made to equal living a religious life. You want to follow the Lord? You live like this. You behave like this. You act like this. You function like this. You don't function like this. You don't act like this. You don't behave like this. Obviously, you're not following the Lord. They love the Lord. They would love the Lord. You'd see him touch something in a conference. They really love the Lord. But somehow they equated following the Lord, loving the Lord, listening to the Lord's voice with a whole realm of practices. And one day, they couldn't do those practices. And they just said, no, thank you. I don't want the practices. I don't want the Lord. Actually, they really want the Lord. They really want the Lord. But they've been made to understand that following the Lord equals all kinds of practices. So first, we need a realization. I mean, you need to be so free, brothers and sisters. Let's say your children don't want to go to young people's meetings. You need to be so free to say that that's okay. That's okay. But you still need to love him. You are saved, right? You love him. They'll always say, yeah, of course I love him, Mommy. I love the Lord. I just don't want to go to the young people's meeting. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you don't let your children go to the young people's meeting. I'm just trying to divide a line here so you understand. I don't like it. I don't like the songs they sing, right? You know, I know the serving one doesn't like me, thinks I'm not very nice. I don't want to go. That's okay. There's nothing holy about going or not going. You don't want to go, then you don't go. But you love him. You pursue him. You have to listen to his voice. And at the same time, you uphold that moral, ethical, and virtuous line. So that they realize you are not equating practices with their relationship with the Lord. And many times, if you preserve that, you know, how do you feel the Lord's been speaking to you? You don't want to go to the young people's meeting. That's okay. But how do you feel the Lord speaking? They'll often say, I don't know. But more often, you'll find out he does speak to them. Sometimes they can't even listen to him. Why? They have been taught to do so many religious things. And the religious things they do doesn't match what's going on inside of them. And if nobody is pointing them the right way, if you want to be your child's shepherd, you point them to listen. Say, I don't know, Daddy, I don't know how he's speaking to me. And say, well, son, he always does. The Lord inside of you, since you got saved, he is always speaking to you. He's always leading. Then they, I don't understand. But you sow a seed to give them an ear to listen. Do you understand? And, you know, this is what's so wonderful about the Lord. Sometimes we're afraid that if we don't tell somebody something, they won't hear it. You know, the Lord's got an interesting way to speak to everybody. It's so fascinating. You think, if I don't tell them, then they won't understand. They won't know if I don't tell them. And so we're afraid to say, you just pray a little bit tonight before you go to bed, or read the Bible a little bit. The Lord will speak to you. We're a little bit afraid to believe that. I'm not sure. He'll tell them the right thing. I'm not sure God will give them the right thing to say. You know, Lord, behave better. Do you understand? I think you've had that experience if you've got kids. It's very hard to imagine that the Lord can teach people. It's more like we got to teach him. And ultimately what that does is that leads them away from the inner voice, the anointing, the sense of life. Okay. The second thing that we need to have, besides the understanding, and this is really important, you cannot teach your children how to hear the voice of the Lord and to live by the Lord's voice if that's not the way you live. You see, if I'm very active in my Christian life, doing lots of things, and I measure how I'm going on by the things that I do, how busy I am, how productive I am, how positive I am, and then I feel, you know, I'm going on quite well following the Lord. I mean, just look at my schedule the last week. You know, I'm quite occupied with positive things. You will teach your children that same thing. You will teach them that if they are doing everything right, they are justified. And if they aren't doing everything right, they're not justified. If you are struggling yourself to hear the voice of the Lord, you know the difficulty. You know, you know that sometimes the Lord speaks to you about things no one else cares about, but he's bothering you about it. And you've got to respond. And if you go and tell somebody, if I say, Mike, you know, the Lord's really touching me just about the way I use my after school time. Then Mike says, who cares? Nobody cares about that kind of touching. But let me ask you, hasn't the Lord touched you that way? The way you keep your room, the way you keep your car, the way you treat people. The Lord cares about humanity. I come back to this matter of humanity. He cares about the attitude you have toward a brother. Just this, every time you think of that sister, you think of that brother, you're so bothered. But, you know, if we can busy ourselves with all kinds of other things, you don't deal with it. Or a problem in the married life. It keeps coming up, but you don't deal with it. And the Lord keeps bothering you. You need to face it. You need to do something. You busy your life with all kinds of spiritual activities, and you don't listen to the Lord's voice. Well, because it's difficult. It's difficult to know how he's touching you. It's difficult to recognize his hand in your life. It's difficult to understand how he's teaching you right now. Because it doesn't go along with everyone's being taught this. That isn't the way the Lord works. We may all preach the gospel together. We may all go to a conference together. But when it comes to the Lord's perfecting in our life, it's my sheep know my voice, and they know, and I know them by name. What I'm going through by the Lord's hand, you have neither knowledge of nor no appreciation of. They're little things. that are not significant to everyone else. But that is the focus of the entire Christian life, is God's perfecting of you by the Holy Spirit inside of us. When we live that way, we're very broad to let other people live that way. We realize, wow, some of the things I'm experiencing, I wouldn't even give a testimony. Nobody's going to appreciate it. It's so dumb. I find many of the things the Lord touches me on. You know, I teach children. Sometimes the Lord will bother me about an attitude I'll have toward a student. Well, who should care if I got an attitude toward a third grade child? I'm 56 years old. I can do whatever I want. But the Lord will touch me. No, don't. You don't care about that, do you? Shall I come on Sunday morning during prophecy time? I'd like to tell you how the Lord touched me about this little girl in our class. She was naughty and I lost my temper and the Lord touched me. And you'd all think, sit down, brother. Well, you know, this is not according to some high peak or whatever. But isn't this how God is dealing with us all the time? He's shaping us, transforming us into his image to have the same morality, the same virtues as him. When we live in the world, it's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives inside of us. It is such a struggle. You can't live passively that kind of life. You can live a passive church life, but you cannot live a passive Christian life. Because every day the Lord's voice is speaking inside of us. Okay, why do I make such a point of that? Oh my goodness. What will you do with your children if you live that way, the same way? You will have a keen sense when the Lord is moving in them. And when the Lord's touching them, and when it's a religious activity. And you'll have a lot of latitude. He says, Daddy, the Lord's really touching me about, I don't even know what. You'll realize, well, okay, son, just keep going to the Lord. You'll get clear, asking him again and again, till it gets very clear with you. Recently, somebody via email was asking me about some summer decisions, what they should do with their in-between semesters. And I said, well, and things like this, you pray. And if you're not clear, you go back to the Lord. You're still not clear, you go back to the Lord. You're still not clear, you go back to the Lord. Why? I know that's the process. You're making some decisions. How do you know the Lord's voice? Well, you don't know it like that, do you? You got to go back. Lord, is this of you? Is this what you're speaking to me? You're still not sure. Lord, I'm going to make this decision. Is this you? I'm not sure. Lord, is this you? You have to go back to the Lord again and again and again. And then finally, the sense of life is strong, empowering. Amen. This is the Lord. Now when you shepherd your children, when they go through their teen years, you'll give them the same latitude. So if they say, Daddy, I don't like the church meetings, I don't want to go, well, okay, that's all right. If that's how you feel the Lord is leading you not to go to the meeting, ask him again. You recognize the same God who led you to know life, the same God who led you to hear his voice, is the same God who can lead them. And you know how long it took you. You know what a challenge it was for you. So you're very gentle towards your children. Now you can be a shepherd and lead them to the Lord as well. And I probably don't have to say about the last point, that's to pray. Pray that they would be drawn by the Lord powerfully. I think, you know, my wife and I could both testify that has always been our prayer for our children. Whether they're in the church or they're not in the church, I really don't care. And understand me right. But they must give their whole life to you. Anything less than that, Lord, I'm not going to let you go on that. They must give their whole life to you. Because you are the meaning of life. Without you, our life means nothing. Even a life so positive in a religious setting, in a church setting, can be empty. That's why young people leave. That's why sometimes adults leave. It's just boring. It's not exciting. Well, we're not here to be excited. We're not here for some cause. If we're here, we're here because the living God told me to be here. I'm not here to be in the church. I'm here because the living God told me to be here. And that same kind of drive, that's what we want for our children. So that if they go somewhere else, they do something else, you'd have the deep assurance. Yeah, they're not necessarily do the things I do, but I have a deep conviction they're following the Lord. And that's what we want. Amen? Okay, I'll stop. You know, it's a lot. You probably even have trouble formulating questions because I gave you so much.
There's got to be a kind of a fine line in a kid's life where you're young, so young that you kind of you train them, you do this, we go.
Okay, yeah. She brought up a good point. And I'll make a distinction between someone who is saved, a junior high schooler who might have that feeling, versus a little child. Mm-hmm. You can tell your children, you are going to church. Mm-hmm. Why are we going to church? Not because we're spiritual, not because we're holy, not because we're listening to the Lord's voice, because God has kept us alive this week. He gave us a house. We owe him honor and worship. Mm-hmm. So that's more of the humanity. Mm-hmm. That would be guiding our children according to the eagle. That we respect and we honor God. So when the children are little, this part I'm very adamant about. You should teach them every week we give the Lord time. They don't understand the Lord's table or, you know, what the body means or what it means to partake of the bread and the wine. They don't need to know that. But they do need to know our family honors God. Because of God, we're alive. So that's different. See, when they're old, and in fact, I would even say that for sometimes high school kids. They may not want to go to the young people's meeting, but still when it comes to the Lord's table, you could even tell them, take a novel, sit in the back, but you're going. Because we honor God. I mean, don't let anybody see your novel, you know, because you'll embarrass mommy or daddy. In other words, you're taking care of them. They're not ready. They don't love the Lord. They're 16 years old. Okay, I'm not going to tell you have to love the Lord, but you must honor God. Because that's human. That's a human virtue. That is not related to being spiritual. Even the Hindus or the Muslims honor God. There's value to that. Does that make sense, the difference between the two things? People get mushy on these things. Those of us, our children don't want to love the Lord, so we're afraid to say too much. And when you see things rightly, you say, you know, honey, you don't want to go to the conference. That's okay. You can't force yourself to love the Lord. But you look at your health. You got two arms. Couldn't you have gotten in an accident yesterday and lost an arm? Or couldn't you have gotten hit with a bat and have a concussion and you're permanently impaired? And look at, we eat three meals a day. There's so many things to be grateful for. From whose hand? God's hand. So for that reason, we thank God. That's very important to teach them. And at the same time, tell them, you don't love the Lord, that's okay. But you have to honor him.
I have a question. I just want to talk about that being a parent, you need to obey the Christ, and the parents need to be perfect and be a role model. What happens? We stumble all the time.
That also is part of the model, is to apologize and repent. I think that does as much good as being a perfect role model, and more. You know, Billy Graham, in his biography, I don't know if any of you read his autobiography, he said his children only regretted one thing of their parents, why they hid their spousal arguments from the children. Because when the children got married, then they knew Billy Graham and his wife were just perfect. Well, no husband and wife are perfect. But they hid their arguments. And he said he regretted not fighting more in front of the children. I'm not saying to do that. But the point is, you know, part of the beauty on our part, on one hand, yes, is to magnify the morality and the virtues and the ethics of Christ. But as fallen human beings under God's salvation, also part of the beauty is to be frail, sinful, and forgiven. Mm-hmm. So to apologize. Recently, my oldest daughter was here, and I did something, and I left her a note underwards. I apologize. You know, from a certain standpoint, I don't have to apologize. But once you live before the Lord, oh, so many things. And the children, and I think we've all had this experience when someone will give you a phone call and say, you know, Dustin, the other day I said something, the tone was not right, I'm really sorry. And you think, this is nothing, but you're touched. This is the work of God to make, because human beings are so proud, so arrogant. They're not going to show their frailty. But the Lord touches us, and then we tell our children, you know, I'm sorry, Daddy yelled too strong yesterday. Even with discipline, you know, we all go too far. You know, you say one word too much or one smack too hard. You know, oh, Lord, then you got to say, I'm sorry, Daddy was wrong on that. That can affect them just as deeply as you're being perfect.
When they go to a meeting, got a frustration, will you encourage them to continue to go? Because we know sometimes in the meeting, maybe at that time, the Lord will speak to them.
Yeah, you know, on that kind of thing, I just tell you to pray. Because you don't know. I've watched some parents who were very, very adamant, you will go to the meeting. I don't care whether you like it or not, you're going. And that drove the children away. I know other families, they made their children go to every meeting. And that made their children stay. So what do? You pray. For your children, should I demand it or should I not? And maybe it'll be for one child you demand it and the other child you don't demand it. In other words, our knowing, that's why I said how to implement the teaching and the training, you yourself have to be before the Lord. With some children, if they go to one more meeting, you will sow bitterness in them. They just feel forced and they're angry. Other children, you force them to go, you just feel, no, just make them go, make them go. You sense the Lord, make them go. And they'll hear something that'll turn their life around. So whether they go, they don't go, whether you tell them to go or whether you tell them they don't have to go, cannot be according to a rule. Has to be according to your sense. No, this is the best. You're still standing in the position of God for them. It's just like when you all face the problem when they get to their teen years. How much should you allow them to do in the world? Because they're going to be in the world. You cannot stop them. Some children, you have to give them a long rope. They run far, far, far away. And if you don't give them a long rope, they'll cut the rope and they'll be gone. Other children, the rope's only this long. They just move the... No. How do you know when to give them a long rope, when to give them a short rope? By prayer. And the sense of life. You just feel, if I'm strict, I'm going to damage something here. And so even how you implement the teaching of the law is regulated by your own life before the Lord. That's why I don't like books that tell you how to be a parent. They become a law. They bind you. You know, if you're a father, you must be, like when you were saying, what happens if we make lots of mistakes? I always hate reading biographies about these wonderful people. And you read the story about how wonderful this father was and all the children followed the Lord and it was glorious. And I'm reading this and I'm not inspired. I'm so depressed. I can never be like this. This is unbelievable. Because, it's actually a law. That if you're like this, if you're patient and thoughtful and kind and considerate, your children will be blessed. And if you're not, woe is you. And you, oh my gosh, this is terrible. So that it becomes a demand. So that's why, you know, even though I'm telling you to raise their children with such morals and high, it still has to be regulated by the Spirit and by the Lord's leading, how far to go.
Chuck, with everything that you said, is there one, I don't want to call it like a secret or whatever, but is there like one little thing that you could just say, I encourage you this way, or I encourage you with this one little secret to parenting or something like
that? Yeah, pray. Pray. I could. You know, I know that sounds so trite,
yeah.
just pray for your children. But when I mean pray, I mean what you do, the environment you set up for them. You, to some degree, you can say before the Lord, my house, my household, and the way I'm disciplining my children right now is according to God. And it might, you know, a year later have to adjust. This is when following the Lord is so much more difficult than just being in a church. Because they get to be 10 years old, and everything the Lord taught you when he was 8 years old doesn't work anymore. Then you got to go through the whole, but now what? Then they're 12, everything changes again. Especially if you have more children, you know. Daddy, you never let me do that. You let him do that. So I just say, well, the Lord told me to. Blame him. And I might add another thing. You know, this is the beauty of being parents. You never stop being a parent. Never. No matter how old your children get, you are still their parent. And they want nothing more than to have a close, loving relationship with you. So therefore, your ground to be their shepherd is lifelong. I remember I was in Mexico maybe 6 or 7 years ago, and one year, and then another, a year later. And we talked about the children always being your children. And this one very, very, very religious Mexican man, so strict with his family, every time they'd come over, he made everybody bring their Bible, open their Bible. One by one, everybody read. One by one, everybody pray. One by one, everybody give a testimony. Well, after 15 or 20 years, there's nobody at the table but him. The children wanted nothing to do with him. Their spouses wanted nothing to do with him. He says, all my children left. What do I do now? I said, next time, invite them again and hide your Bible. Don't pray. Make it a point not to pray in front of them. And just eat. And give them a hug. And be very gentle with them. Mm-hmm. And of course he looked at me and said, oh, but I'm a Christian. I have to bring my Bible. I have to bring my children to the Lord. When they're at my house, you will come to the Lord. I said, just for a while. Put your Bible away. Put your hymnal away. Don't pray in front of your children. Just love them. Be very kind. Be very gentle to them. So he did it. A year later, he testified. He's got all his children around the table reading the Bible with him. Because he preserved what was most important. We don't want our children to do anything. We want them to hear the Lord's voice. They read the Bible, how much they read the Bible, how much they sing, how many meetings they go. That's beside the point. When we just care for the Lord inside of them, we can be so loving, so kind, so gentle, because we just want that to happen inside of them.
One last question. We only have like a 7-month-old little baby. How old, like when these principles that you gave as far as teaching and training, how old, when did you start?
You're going to think I'm giving you simplistic answers. Again, you can't designate a time. You know, I know the Jews have a saying. You know your letters and numbers by age 3. So they have their sort of thought, when you give the law, the earlier the better. So from the very moment they begin to be cognizant of how to conduct themselves, teaching starts. How do you act in what different social settings, or how do you behave? Some, especially when the children get older too, because it does go back to the start, when they can begin to beginnings of reasoning. When they're at a certain age, you can't reason with the children. I mean, I'm personally, and don't tell anybody this, otherwise nowadays this is not considered good. I'm still for spanking under a certain age, because you can't reason with children. But if they know, if something is stopped, not mean. You know, Brother Nee gives a beautiful illustration of a spanking. I don't know if you've ever read it. Talks about, you know, the little boy did something bad, punched his sister or something. You know, they had to be disciplined. The whole family comes together, and he had to open his hand, and then his father whipped his hand 2 or 3 times. And then the mother put warm water on it, and daddy put some salve on it, and it was all over. And he hugged him. And there was the sense of disciplining the deed and in an atmosphere of warm love. Not the way most people might spank their children, just out of anger. You know, just don't do that. That does nothing. That only feeds the flesh. But that illustration helped me a lot. Because, you know, at a certain age, a child's a preschooler or a kindergartner, and they take a truck, you know, and hit another kid with a truck. You can't say, now, honey, we don't do that to children. You know, you're going to lose friends that way. You know, if you keep doing that, you're going to be all alone. That means nothing to them. What means something to them? Give me your hand. Did you hit him with that hand? Give me that hand. Mommy, come here. And they get a little sting. So they go, no, I'll never do that again. You know, people obey the law for 2 reasons. One is reason. The other is fear. Mm-hmm. When you drove up here from Columbus, did you go the speed limit because you wanted to do the right? Or because you were afraid of seeing that black car with lights on top chase you? And so the children are the same way. They need a little bit of the sense of don't touch this, to be careful with this, that keeps quenches the flesh. I sometimes I think some parents, they don't realize they're ruining their child by not stopping a certain behavior that gets worse and worse and worse. You're handing them over to their own flesh. You know, a child who's mean. Or a child who's constantly disrespectful. Honey, don't talk to Mr. Debelak like that. Be nice. You know, wild. No, honey, don't do that. What you're doing is you're giving that flesh that is so rebellious and selfish, you're feeding it. So they're more selfish. They're more rebellious. And you're miserable. You know, aren't you miserable when you're rebellious? You're angry at everybody. You want to lash out. But if it stopped, then it's like getting, you know, when you've been disciplined by the Lord, on the one hand, you're ashamed, you're embarrassed. Oh, but it's like a new start. And that's what discipline, firm discipline, when they're little, does. It's a kind of a pre-washing and cleansing experience. Pre-salvation washing and cleansing experience. It's hard in our culture, you know, stop that. Don't you ever let me see you do that again. You know, so you don't yell at kids like that. If you don't stop that behavior, it's going to be twice as bad the second time. And then it's going to get 3 times as bad. You know, I usually don't like to give a lot of this kind of practical advice. But if you can discipline your child at least strong enough, you do it however you want, that the next time they're ready to do the bad thing, you just give them one look. And they just shrivel.
It works.
Yeah. Okay, now they know. I don't go, when I do something, I stop. Just to look. Then you know, people who do not adequately discipline, you keep doing the same, honey, I told you don't do that. Honey, don't do that. And you're creating a monster. Because the flesh is getting bigger and more selfish and more self-centered. You just stop it firmly, whether it's verbally or by punishment or by, you know, whatever, spanking, if you want to do a spanking. But it's always done in love. You can't go hit kids. That's your own flesh. But it's firm enough that the next time, you know, next time that behavior starts, just a look. And they stop. Sometimes I would give these conferences just to empower parents in the midst of a mushy psychology of how to raise your children. You know, you don't want to hurt them. You don't want their life to be happy. And you just make them miserable. You know, you've seen young people in junior high and high school, the kind that aren't doing much in school, not accomplishing much. They get into trouble. You talk with them. They're not happy. They are not happy. Their flesh was allowed to grow. And you think by letting them have fun and letting them have their own way, that's going to make them happy. It doesn't make them happy. You hand them over to their own flesh, and they're miserable. Now, don't leave here telling everybody I'm promoting spankings. I hope you don't get that out of this.